Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are studying from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And our study is in the book of Hebrews, and today we're starting on what Precept calls the third part of Hebrews. We have been studying part one and part two previously, and now we're going into part three. And before we start, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have to come to you to study your word, your truths, Father, that we may learn of you. And we know, Father, that we cannot know and understand without the Holy Spirit. And we ask that He lead us as we study and give us the wisdom and knowledge and truth of your words that you may be glorified. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, just to review us on what we have studied previously in part one and part two, I want us to look at the first chapter 1 through 4, chapter 4, verse 13. In those chapters, we learn from the Hebrew writer that God spoke in His Son, and He was better than the angels, and the Scripture said that we were to listen to Him. And if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts in unbelief. So, we went from there to chapter 4, verse 14, through chapter 10, verse 18. And in those chapters, we learned that Jesus, the Son of God, is our great high priest, and that He is better than angels, and that He came according to the order of Melchizedek. And also we learned that we're to press on to maturity. And now we have a better priest, a better covenant, a better tabernacle, a better sacrifice, and a better offering that is able to save forever. And in our study going forward from chapter 10, verse 19 through 31, we are going to learn more about the old covenant, the new covenant, and what we have in Christ Jesus, our great high priest. The writer says, therefore, have confidence to enter the holy place, and we're to draw near in full assurance, and not to go on willing sinfully, because there is a judgment if you continue to willfully sin. So, we're going to pick up today in chapter 10, verses 32-39, and I'll read these, and then we'll look at what these verses are saying. In verse 32 of chapter 10, but remember the former days, when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering, partly by being made a public spectacle through insults and distress, and partly by becoming companions with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better and lasting possession. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not among those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith for the safekeeping of the soul. So the writer is saying here that they're to remember what they endured in the past. They were going through a lot of sufferings, and they were being made a public spectacle by insults and distress, and by becoming companions with those that were so treated, going through the same. And then he went on to say that they had showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted the seizure of their property, knowing that they have something better and something that is more lasting, a possession, now that they have come to know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So he says, don't throw away your confidence, because there is a great reward, and you need to have endurance so that when you have done the will of God, that you will receive the promises. And then he goes on to quote some scripture, and he says that for a very little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. And what he's saying here is that Jesus himself had promised when he went away that he would come back, and that he would take with those that believed upon his word back with him to the Father in heaven. And he is saying here, the Hebrew writer, that he is not going to delay that time when it comes time for him to come. But the righteous will live by faith, it says. And if he shrinks back, he says, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we, the Hebrew writer is referring to himself when he says, we are not among those who shrink back to destruction, but we are of those who have faith for the keeping of the soul. So he is encouraging them. Remember that the Hebrew writer, the one that is writing this epistle, he's writing to these Hebrew Christians, those that have come to believe the gospel that Jesus came and died for their sins and rose the third day and is seated with the Father at the right hand of the Father. And he makes intercession because he has become their great high priest. So he's saying that you're to hold on with confidence your faith that you have come to know through the Lord Jesus. And remember, as we go through these verses, that the writer penned this down not only for those at that time, but God himself is the one that penned it down. He encouraged, or he gave the inspiration to this Hebrew writer and all the writers of the book of the Bible, that God himself is present in the book. It is the Word of God, and it is, the Bible refers to as the sword. It's the power of God. And so what he is saying is that to them, these Hebrew Christians, and to us today, that we're to hold on with faith and with confidence, because he's going to come back one day, and we need to be ready for his return, and that he will condemn the world, but he will bring righteousness, and he will not put his wrath on those that follow and believe in his name according to faith. Now, let's go to now to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and see what the writer continues to teach and to encourage these Hebrews that are going through a lot of persecution because of their faith in the Lord Jesus. Reading from verse 1, now faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. For by it the people of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the world has been created by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. Now, what is the writer saying here? He's saying that the faith that I'm speaking to you about, that you need to hold on, is the faith of a certainty of things. It's a faith that you believe in that is a certain thing, that it's a sure thing, and that this faith you are hoping for is a proof of things not yet seen. So he goes on to express that by referring back to the people of old. He's talking about those in the Old Testament days, in the beginning of time. It says, for by it the people of old, those previously in the Old Testament, gained approval. They gained their approval to God by their faith. And he goes on in that third verse and he says, by faith, we understand that the world has been created by the word of God. So here he is saying to these people and to us that it's by our faith that we believe the word of God, and we believe what the word of the God teaches us. And the first thing is that the world has been created by the word of God, so that what is seen, what we can see, has not been made out of things that are visible. So he's saying that all that God has created, he created by his very word. We know in studying in the book of Genesis that God spoke, and everything that was created was made. It was spoken by God, and we believe that by faith. And it wasn't spoken by things that are visible. It says by what is seen, that hasn't been out of things that are visible. That means that the things that we see were not made or created by a earthly way of creation. It was created and made totally from God. So let's look forward now and read verse 4 through 7. By faith, we're looking back now at some of the Old Testament prophets and great men of God. And the writer of Hebrews is telling us about them and how that they became to believe in God. Verse 4 says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he was attested to be righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. And by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For before he was taken up, he was attested to have been pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he proves to be the one who rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, let's go back and look at these verses and look at these great men of God that received their righteousness and how it was received. Many ask the question about the Old Testament people and whether they were saved or not. But look at what the Hebrew writer is saying, and you can understand that it was all by faith. By faith, Abel, he offered a better sacrifice to God, and God attested to that to be righteous. So, through faith, then, it says that even though that Abel is dead, he still speaks. That means spiritually, he still speaks through his faith. And that's how that we see it as it's written down in the Word. And then we look at another faithful prophet and man of God named Enoch. And in studying in the book of Genesis, we learn about Enoch, and it tells us here that Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. God took Enoch. He didn't die. He carried him straight into heaven. And it says, and he was not found because God took him up. For before he was taken up, he was attested to have been pleasing to God. And this is how that he received his righteousness. That's how he received his salvation, was because of his faith. He was a righteous man, and he believed God, and therefore God accepted him and took him up because of his righteous belief in God. And then the sixth verse, it says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For anyone that comes to God must believe that he exists and that he proves to be the one who rewards those who seek him. So what the writer is saying to us here is there's no way to God without believing that he exists. And it proves to be that God, who rewards those who seek him, those even in the Old Testament days, even though Christ had not come yet, as you go further in the Old Testament, you see the promises. Even in Genesis, you see the promises of God sending his son. A Messiah is promised. So these Old Testament people, these Old Testament faithful people that believed in God and had faith in him, they were given salvation. It says in verse 7,
By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, you know, it hadn't even rained whenever God told Noah to build an ark, to build a ship that was going to float in water. And God told Noah that it was going to rain. And by his faith, Noah began to build the ark. And he began to preach the word of God that it was going to rain and God was going to send a flood upon the earth. And by his faith, he continued to carry out the work of God. And it says, in reference, prepared an ark for the salvation of himself and his household. So the ark then represented a foreshadow of the coming of Christ, as the ark was a place of safety. It was the place that Noah and his family could be saved. It was like Jesus is our safety. He is our ark. It's only through him that we have eternal life. And so it's only through him that we have salvation. Because John 14:6 says, Jesus' very words, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So when Noah prepared the ark, those that would believe could come into the ark and receive their salvation, their safety. But no one but Noah and his family, the eight people, believed in God and came forward into the ark of safety. So it was all by what? It was all by faith. The same way that we today, since Jesus came in our time, they were looking for him and they believed by faith that he was going to come. Today, we look back at the cross. By faith, we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that we have been saved by the blood of Jesus. Now, let's go further into Hebrews 8, verse 8 through 19. And I will read these verses and then we'll discuss them. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which was to receive for an inheritance, and he left not knowing where he was going. And by faith, he lived as a stranger in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered as dead at that there was born descendants who were just as the stars of heaven in number and as the innumerable grains of sand along the seashore. All of these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen and welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they have been thinking of that country which they left, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. And therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he prepared a city for them. Now then, let's look at some more Old Testament saints and prophets and believers by faith that God was going to do exactly what he promised. And we're looking now at Abraham. When Abraham was called by God, God told Abraham to go, and that place that he was going to send to him, Abraham wasn't aware of where that was, but by faith, he left where he was, not knowing where he was going. So, by faith, he lived as a stranger in the land that God promised, in a foreign land, in tents. And we know that from Abraham came Isaac and Jacob, it says, fellow heirs of that same promise. For they were looking for a city that had foundations, and the architect of that city was God. And they were looking by faith. It says that even Sarah, Abraham's wife, at her old age, she was like in her 90s, God told Abraham and Sarah that he was going to give them a son. And that son that would come from the loins of Abraham would be Isaac. But when they got old, she was 90 and he was 100, they had thought, well, we're too old now. But by faith, they believed. And we see that she conceived and bore a son that was Isaac, just as God had promised. So, even from one man and one who was a good number as the innumerable grain of the sand, all of these things are coming to pass because God made a covenant with Abraham, and he told him that he would bless him and his family and all generations from him, as innumerable as the grain of sand along the seashore and as the stars in heaven. And then you see in verse 13 that all of these died. They died in faith, and they had not yet received the promises, but yet they were looking for it. They didn't give up hope. And even though that they did not live to see it, it says that they welcomed and possessed it from a distance. And having confessed, they were strangers, but they were seeking a country of their own. They were strangers in that land, but they were seeking out the promise that God had made. And if they had been thinking of that country which they left, then they would not have been seeking out the country that God had promised, a better country. And that is a heavenly one. That is an eternal one. So God himself is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So that goes back to the question, were the people, any of the people in the Old Testament saved? There is your answer. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Yes, all of these that lived in the Old Testament days, in the beginning of time, they received salvation the same way that we receive salvation. It's by faith. By faith, Abraham, look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. The one who had received the promise was offering up his only son, and it was he to whom it was said, through Isaac your descendants shall be named. That's what God told Abraham when he told him that he was going to give him and Sarah a son. His name would be Isaac. And now he is saying here that by faith, whenever God told Abraham to take this son, this only son that God had promised him, and offer him as a sacrifice. So he had told Abraham that from the descendants of Isaac, all of the covenant would be fulfilled. So when Abraham went forward to take his son, he believed by faith that if God took his son, that he was able to raise him from the dead. So here we see a foreshadow of Jesus Christ, that he went to the altar, that he was the sacrifice. As you saw there, as Abraham took Isaac, then God stopped Abraham when he drew the knife to take the life of Isaac, and he told him not to kill him. He had a sacrifice that would take the place of Isaac. And of course, we know that the lamb was in the bush, and that lamb was Jesus. Jesus, that's a foreshadow showing that Jesus took our place, that he died for our sins, and that he covered our sins with his blood. So this is just so much, it's so rich, it's so powerful that God had this written down for these people at that time. And it was not just written for them, but it was written for us today, that we have that promise, that if we believe by faith, that we can have the righteousness of Jesus. Now then, let's go on and just look at verse 20 through 38. And then we will finish up our study for today. But it's all about what? It's all about faith. It's all about belief in the Word of God. Now, the 20th verse says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. And by faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. And by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure all treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he preserved as though seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after the Israelites had marched around them for 7 days. Now, let's see what these verses are saying. Let's look at verses 35 through, let's go forward. All of this, as you have learned through your studies, that this chapter is all about faith. And this is how that we can understand the Word of God. It's by faith. It's powerful. It's strong. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. So, as we look at these verses, we see God's hand and how that God is moving through each and every one that have believed, have come to accept His Word as truth. And we see how that we don't have time to go through all of these, but by faith, Isaac, he blessed his sons Jacob and Esau. And then by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed the sons of Joseph. And then by Moses' faith, when he was born, his family hid him because they were not afraid of what the king was saying by his edict. And by faith, Moses grew up and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh because he chose rather to endure ill treatment for his own people, because it was by his faith he knew that to have the pleasures of Pharaoh or the pleasures of this world was just temporary. And the people of Egypt, that was what was an example of heaven. If we believe by faith, our reward in heaven, our treasures in heaven, are so much greater than any treasures here on earth. And Moses saw that by faith. And we know then that by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And we know that that was, it took the faith of the people to believe God to do what He told them to do. In our study, as we studied the book of Joshua, we know that after Moses died, that God appointed Joshua to become the leader of the people, to carry them into the promised land. And it was all by faith that they went forward to take that land, because God had promised it all the way back from Abraham. And we can see God's hand moving through each one of these as we go forward and as we read about each one of these and how that God worked in their lives and how that He is working in our lives today through our faith. God calls each one of us for a purpose. He has placed us here for a purpose, and we all have different purposes to fill, to carry out His plan. And we do this by faith. We do this because we believe His Word, and we believe in His Son, Jesus. And we believe also that here on this earth, all of these treasures are worldly, and that they're temporary. These people, by their faith, realized and recognized that everything in their day was temporary. They were seeking a promised land, a heavenly home. And that's what the promised land, we're looking today for our promised land, a heavenly home. And so it's only through faith that we can understand the Word and the truths of God, and that we can continue to go through life as different trials and troubles and things that we faced in life. These people went through a lot of trials and a lot of troubles. And that's why the Hebrew writer is writing all of this to these Hebrew believers. They're new believers in Christ Jesus. And he wants to encourage them. And it was written for us that we too may be encouraged. Now I will quickly read 31 through 38. By faith, the prostitute Rahab did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword from weakness, were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mocking and flogging and further chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. People of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts, on mountains, and sheltering in caves and holes in the ground. Now, what do all of these say? He is saying in all of these verses, all of these saints of old, all of these that believe by faith, they had faith and they were delivered from persecution and trials in their life. Because of their faith, God had prepared a better place. And that place, of course, is what he has prepared for us today, a heavenly home. So they all received approval by God because of their faith. But they did not receive that land that they were going in, but they received something better, the kingdom, the heavenly home. So they were all in the past showing us in the present how we're to endure by faith. And they show us how to look to the hope of the future. So we have to look at God's word and see all of these examples that are written down of what they endured and what they went through, that we too, in any conflict and trial and trouble that we have here on this earth, that we too can endure. And the only way that we can endure is the same way that these people of old endured, by faith. So let us close our study today, and we will continue this in next week's study. As we start in our next study, we'll be asking ourselves, are we pleasing to God by faith? So we'll get deeper into this. And we'll be asking ourselves, are we pleasing God by our faith? So be sure to continue with us in our study. And we'll close now. Heavenly Father, how precious is your word. How faithful a God that you are. We can look back. We have your word written down for us. That we know, Father, that your word is truth, because all of these things that we are studying and look back and see all the people that came through before us endured, and how that they endured it by faith and only through faith. But Father, they were looking for the Messiah. But we know we can look back at the Christ, at the cross, because we know that he has come and that he went to the cross and died for us, that we might have life everlasting. And Father, we know from witnesses that's written in your word. They only had the Old Testament. We have the entire book. We have the New Testament. The New Testament is the word of God, and it's written by witnesses that were there when Jesus went to the cross and died, and they were there when he was raised from the dead. Thank you, Father, that we have your word, that we can believe and trust in your word, because they witness that Jesus himself said before he went to the Father and sat down that he would come back again. And today we're looking for his return to this earth to set up his kingdom here. But we know, Father, that you're in control of all things, and we just place everything in your hand by faith, Father. By faith, we trust you. And through Jesus, we know that your word will come to pass just as it is written. We ask it all now in the name of Jesus. Amen.